Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I am your host, Mark Rigadonna, and with me, as always,
Richie Byrne. Welcome back, buddy.
What's up, theater nerd?
I missed you last night.
I know.
I couldn't write what I wanted to write, so I wrote theater nerd.
I know what you were going to write. Dude, it is.
Century.
I missed. It's like a drug to not do the welcome. How did you open last night?
I opened. Yeah,
you
I
opened.
Had on, and it was funny because we didn't talk about it ahead of time, and
it came on.
And we go into the music, and I'm like, I guess I'm going. And then Joe called me. He goes, oh, man, I didn't know what we were going to do. I'm like, does Richie know? What are we doing? And I just went, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. It was weird.
Were you just as surprised as me every night?
Yeah. It was a great show. Anthony Rodia was awesome.
That was a lot of fun, man. I'm so glad I got to hop on at the end.
Later, and we had a lot of great comments. People were commenting. He's got a lot of fans, that kid.
Yes, and we have a new nickname for you now. You're Hulk Hogan if he didn't wrestle.
Let me tell you, brother, I can put that roof up.
Well, today's a very special episode. We got a very great, what do we call it? Showbiz Thursdays. Showbiz
Thursday, we're classing up the show today.
I know. Are we allowed to have classy guests on?
I don't know, but, you know.
With us two dirt balls as the host?
I've known this girl quite a while, and she's not as classy as you think. So, but I even wore a collar. I went collar.
I noticed. I was like, wow, Richie wearing buttons.
It took me 20 minutes to find a button shirt that would fit.
The back is completely cut out so it can fit. Dude, I had to put dress pants on for the thing I had to do yesterday because they would see my full body.
Right.
And I was like, I haven't put on pants with a button in I don't know how long. Yeah. I went to put the pants on. I'm like...
Yeah. No, I know. People, it's so funny because nobody's wearing anything but sweats and pajamas. That's it. Why? And
we're all putting on the Corona 15, man. It's like being in college again.
It's brutal.
Well, let's get this baby started. You want to bring out our special guest?
Fat bastards we are.
What's that?
Now that we talked about what fat bastards we are.
Let's bring out a sexy woman since we talked about how fat and gross we are.
I am so honored to have her. She's been a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
So religiously, she's an old friend of mine. She's Mark. We're going to go into it. She's been in so many Broadway shows, Ragtime, Seussical, Kiss Me, Kate, Sweet Charity with Rob Bartlett, by the way.
No way. Yeah,
with our old Bartlett. She's here with us today. I'm honored. I'm privileged to have her. Give it up for Janine LaManna, ladies and gentlemen.
Janine.
Hello.
How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
This is amazing. We love this. This is our Showbiz Thursday. We just started it last week, and we were thrilled to have you. And you've been doing theater for a couple of years now and been in a few shows.
Just a couple. I'm new. Yeah. You know, new at this.
Yeah. How are you holding up with all this? With the corona?
Good. You know, I'm raising two kids in Westchester and, what I'm going through, you know, with my kids is, you know, pales in comparison to what the rest of, you know, people that are dealing with their loved ones, not being able to see them or help them or, you know, someone is sick. And, you know, I really feel for the parents where both parents get it. And they've got a house full of kids and they've got a few, you know, I mean, I just can't even imagine. So we're really fortunate that everything's okay and we're healthy. Knock on wood, everybody's good. The homeschooling, you know, that's really the bane of my existence right now.
Mark's wife is a teacher.
Yeah, so she's teaching other kids online while I'm with my kids. And I realize teachers are severely underpaid.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I wanted to talk to Janine the other day, Mark. I'm like, hey, can you talk to Mark? She's like, I cannot talk between 9 and 3. No, I just cannot talk. You don't understand. I'm like, okay.
I started when they first announced it. I started like Mary Poppins. I swear to God, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna tackle this. My son is in second grade. This is gonna be great. I'm gonna get to spend so much time with him. Day two, I turned into Miss Hannigan. I went from Mary Poppins to Miss Hannigan in 0 to 90. I said, that's it. Now I got smart though. Things are better because I bribed him with toys. And I bribed him because I remembered Mommy Dearest, and I said, hey, you know what? I'm an actor, and this better go right, because it could go really. I mean, that was.
I thought you were going to say you turned into Nurse Ratched.
No, I started pulling all the stops because I was like, you know, I remember when Christina Crawford wrote a book about her mom, not happening to me. So I said, that's it.
Get rid of all the wire hangers. You got rid of all the wire hangers?
No wire hangers. It's all Pokemon swag and merch. He calls it merch. The merch is coming in the house. Amazon keeps coming. I'm like, you know what? If you're good and you do all your schoolwork, I'll buy you another toy from Pokemon Center.
Wow. So, that's great. Now, but as an actress in live theater, how are you feeling? I mean, give us an idea of what you think. When do you think? And this is just your opinion, but when do you think, from a comedy perspective, we don't know what's going to happen. We really don't.
Yeah.
And from a theater perspective, what's going to happen? You know?
So you had touched on it on your show a couple of shows ago, I think last week, how laughter and comedy kind of breeds on infection, right? So basically, if you're sitting together and it's a... you know, it's a good crowd and you've got like 100 people all sitting kind of close together, it's kind of a good, you know, audience energy for you, right? Because it's a good energy, and that tennis game that goes back and forth between you and the audience is there and alive and palpable, you know. People feel secure in numbers, I think, to laugh and let go. In theater, you know, you're sitting next to each other as well. It's a very similar thing. I mean, whether it's a play or a musical, if it's, you know, something.
There's a reason why we use the quote, the audience is electric. There's a thing that comes through the audience that comes to the performers, and you can feel the energy.
Exactly. And that's what is so, you know, I mean, that's so great about theater. I mean, that's why a lot of people just live for the theater and they don't really, you know, necessarily gravitate towards TV or film because it doesn't have the same, you know, kickback, right?
Watch a movie if you want to be entertained. Go to the theater if you want to change your life. Like, something about theater that makes you...
You should walk out. Something should be changed in you when you walk out of the theater, for sure. I think, though, the good thing about it is that I think theaters have been really innovative. I think producers, directors, actors have all taken this particularly strange thing that we're going through, and they have been so, their approach has been so unique. They're using Zoom meetings to do play readings. I mean, there's so much content now that I actually can't even keep up with it on the computer myself. You know, I'm just kind of like, oh my God, I could see this play. And even though it's a bunch of actors doing exactly what we're doing in a Zoom meeting, they're reading plays and they're performing them. And, you know, while it's not the best antidote for it, and I don't think it's ever going to replace live theater, I think for right now,
it's a nice band-aid.
People are really becoming very creative. All of the benefits that I've been seeing online, you know, the backgrounds that people are doing, the singers, I mean, what singers are doing, I mean, they're singing in their houses by themselves, but they're, you know, piping in, you know, an orchestra or a piano player, and then they've got other people coming in, and it's unbelievable. I mean, I was watching BET last night and their fundraiser, and I was like, how do they have time or the innovation to do this kind of level of technology that we have today that can facilitate it? It's great.
No, you're right.
We had our buddy Payton on, and tonight he's doing a
right now.
He's doing a reading of King Lear with Stacey Keach.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, I saw him on the show. Yeah,
we're gonna have him on next Thursday to talk about how it went and everything. But
okay,
I watched. You were talking about the BET thing. I just watched the Rolling Stones did a concert together like three days ago. And it was so interesting because of the delay. There's a lag in time, you know, and it was so interesting because they were all off just a tiny bit, but you know they're playing perfectly because they've been playing for 1,000 years together. But it was off because of the lag, and then you saw Keith Richards adjust. And all of a sudden, him and Mick Jagger were syncing up, even though they were like a second delay or a half a second delay.
It didn't even matter, did it?
Yeah, it was beautiful. In all fairness, there have been many nights where Keith Richards was on delay.
He was in a heroin delay, though.
We're used to that.
Yeah, but his hair. Did you guys see him though? His hair was like in a tuft.
I didn't see it.
Tuft on the sides.
And he looked like Krusty the Clown.
When I saw them in concert, Mick introduces him, and he's like the Dean Martin of rock and roll. Like, he comes up to the mic and the play, and he looks around. And he goes, "Well, I guess I'm here."
When I saw him, I think he was Giant Stadium.
So did I.
They introduced, he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Richards." And he walks out and the crowd's cheering. And then he just goes, "All right, enough with the bullshit." Like, you just played all the Rolling Stone hits. And he's like, "Enough with the bullshit." And then he played Black Roses or whatever it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like,
God. You earn that though. After that kind of success, you earn it. You can say whatever the hell you want
to
say.
Janine, what do they say? Are they saying? What do you think? Are they going back in the fall? Are they going back in the summer? Is Broadway gonna? Do they have an idea?
So what I know about the summer theaters is that they have postponed their summer program.
Even another
most of them have postponed their summer theater.
Wow. I mean, because there's so many regional and summer stock where, you know, in small little town. That's how I started. That's how you started. You know,
little towns
aren't getting hit like we are here in New York. And I was wondering if those theaters will open. Are they working? Are they?
They're struggling and they're doing fundraisers left and right. And, you know, the casting directors had to stop casting like in the middle of this season, you know, I think most theaters, it depends on what the Broadway League is going to decide. And it kind of is contingent on what the governor is going to propose as the numbers keep dropping and as we get more information about social distancing. I think they're going to take it off of that. They're just waiting. I mean, as a mom, I'm waiting. I mean, I have my daughter signed up for camp and I'm like, you know what? I'm just waiting because, I mean, the end of June may be too soon. May not.
There's two thoughts that I'm having with when things will return to what feels normal. It won't be right away, but I feel like there's the possibility that by summer things will get where we're allowed back out, where we're allowed to start doing stuff. But who's gonna want to go inside a theater or a comedy club or anything like that? Because they're gonna want to go out. Outdoors stuff is gonna be through the roof. People are gonna be hiking, fishing, boating, doing all that kind of stuff. If we're allowed back out in summer, then I think in fall it'll pick back up where it's like, okay, let's go laugh now. But I really feel like even if they let us back,
and then the virus will be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to be careful. Yeah, you do. You have to be careful. I mean, because if you do it too soon, then, you know, you could start this whole thing all over again. And then everything that we've just sacrificed and did, you know, to prevent, you know, the spread, to flatten the curve, as they say. There's the dog. I saw the dog.
He's my mascot for my production company as well, Angry Shih Tzu Productions. And he's the man, so he runs the house.
I love that.
His face bought our house, so
oh, nice.
So
I bought my face for you.
Well, no, your body did.
Ooh, speaking of bodies, let's talk about how we know each other, Rich.
Let's talk about first. We haven't done this, Mark. And the name of the show is Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. And we've done none of it yet. So
none of it yet. Well, we've been storytelling.
And okay. I heard you were prepared. Can I tell you why I love you? And not just you, but actors in general. Because we deal with comedians every day. And they're the most fucked up comedian. You're like, hey, guy, you want to come on and do my show? Yeah, man, what time? You tell them, hey, man, can we, like, talk a little so you have an idea? Nah, wing it. Hey, man,
just
can
wing
you
wing it.
Videos? Nah.
Do you have any videos? Do you have anything we can promote? Just go on Google. You'll find it.
Yeah, Janine was like, here's the, you like, it was so great to have someone professional for a change. So these goddamn But anyway, what are you drinking, baby?
Okay, so I like to make fruity little cocktails. I don't know. I just make them up, and I'm sure it's already some kind of recipe somewhere. But today I made bullet bourbon, apple cider, and ginger beer.
Oh, that sounds good.
There's a cinnamon stick in there somewhere. It's at the bottom. But anyway,
I think you should.
What are you guys drinking?
You should name that drink the Richie Byrne, a fruity little cocktail. I'm going with the old stateside vodka.
I can't
get it up.
You got to send me a bottle of that, Mark.
Dude, I'm going to send you some of this. It's the best vodka I've had.
Is that the stuff that's got the electrolytes in it?
Yes, it is so good. No hangover.
Janine's been watching.
No hangover. Janine, I'm going to send you one too, just because you actually pay attention. It tastes like how Johnny Black.
Johnny Walker Black. Okay, great. Drink up.
Cheers, kid.
Cheers.
To you, Rich.
To you, baby. So, and apparently you've come prepared with a joke.
Oh, come on. I thought the joke was last.
You want to wait?
Well, she wants to close on the joke.
Yes, you want to close on the joke?
You did with Rob Bartlett. I thought you were going to do the same thing with me, no?
Okay. We can do that. We're good with
that. Listen, I got to work up to it, Rich. Right. You know, I'm not. I got to work up to it. I got to earn that joke from the audience.
So you're comparing your comedy chops. You're comparing your comedy chops to Rob Bartlett now. Okay. Now, we already screwed the show up to start. Because before we bring the guest out, we show a video, and I was so excited to get you out here.
This was we were pumped up. A friend of yours. The funny thing, Janine, I've seen I think 3 or 4 shows. I have to check one of my playbills that you were in back when I was in acting school. I have to double check because I've seen Chicago like 1,000 times, so I got to see if I saw the run you were in. I saw you in three other ones.
I've seen 3 or 4 shows you were in, but I was in them with you. So it's a little different.
You got to see them from stage. I got to see them from the worst seats in the house. So here.
Richie was not as kind as you, Mark, and did not spend his money to see me on Broadway.
Okay. We're going to get to that. I promise. But let's show the clip. We have a great clip I want you to see. Let's show the clip.
All right.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. So wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I
Ironically, that is what I sing when I'm on the road with Richie and he buys a round of drinks.
Now, let me ask a question about that. Did you guys hear somebody counts when you go, hey, big spender, 1, 2, 3, listen for the count. Joey, play it again. A man is counting.
The minute you walk in the joint,
I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Good looking, so refined. So wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I
know what it is. That's the Tonys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Tonys. But I think you're listening to an instrument.
No,
I did hear it too. I think it's a frustrated cameraman who used to be an actor, and he's going 1, 2, 3.
Or it's a director or a stage manager, but there's definitely a 1, 2, 3. But it's only the first time, and then I saw the CBS logo. I go, oh, this is the Tonys.
The Tonys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, as for a theater nerd like me, my God, you were on the Tonys.
That's awesome.
You were featured on the Tonys.
I didn't get a Tony.
Huh?
I didn't get a Tony.
Doesn't matter. Right? I dated a guy named Tony once, but.
And you got him.
Tell me about that. Was that, you know, I mean, growing up wanting to do theater, we could talk about Broadway, which, you know, is my dream. It's the one dream I've never had in this business. But what was that like to go from a Broadway show and now standing backstage going, oh my God, I'm about to go out on the Tony Awards and perform.
Well, it's a huge theater. The Radio City Music Hall is so massive, and you do a rehearsal first and you walk out onto that stage and you just look at the it's the largest theater on the East.
Did you do it with no one in the audience?
I
played Radio City Music Hall, and it was more overwhelming when you went out for rehearsal and there's no one there and you see how hot it was. Just not overwhelming, but just were like, this is breathtaking.
You know? Realize it's a massive, massive amount of seats, and it's so big and overwhelming. And also that stage is, I mean, the ghosts and you know, what's in that theater and what, you know, what you feel, just even the energy, just stepping on that stage, it's kind of like stepping onto Carnegie Hall. You're like, my God, you know, it's an amazing thing. But Sweet Charity was such a great experience. I got to do it with Rob Bartlett. He wasn't the original Herman, but he was so, like, I can't even tell you, when Rob Bartlett came into my life, I knew I had a friend for life. I really did. Yeah. He was just such a lovely guy. And I met so many beautiful people. And Christina Applegate, we had a lot of problems with the show because Christina Applegate had kind of broke a bone in her ankle in Outer Town Tryouts in Boston. Mm-hmm. And so they basically pulled the plug on the show in Boston, and they were like, you know, we're not going to do the show in New York. We're not bringing it. If we don't have Christina, we don't have a show.
Right.
And then some angels came in and gave some, you know, much needed money to the show in order to buy us some time for her ankle to heal. And we got to do the show in New York, and it was really lovely. Christina is an unbelievable person. She's an unbelievable professional, dedicated, disciplined. She's one of the most incredibly gifted comedians. Well, she's such a gifted comedian. I mean, really, I was just like kind of learning for her. Like, I didn't realize it on stage with her because I played her best friend. And I was so close to her on stage. And I didn't realize exactly what she was doing until I actually I left the show before it closed because I got pregnant. And so I sat out.
You're done, got knocked up.
This is the kind of actor I am. I thought you were going to say, I got another show. No.
I got pregnant. And so I sat out and watched it. And I was sitting out there watching her and I went, oh my God, I had no idea what was actually forecasting from the stage from her. She was just incredible. So funny, so meticulous, so right, spot on. You can't, you know, I heard Betty White say one time, they asked her, they said, you know, do you think you could teach comedy? And Betty White said, no, not really. She said, it's like dancing. You either have rhythm or you don't. It's really hard to teach it. And Christina is just one of those like perfectly gifted comedians that she doesn't really even, I mean, from Married with Children on, everything she touches is, to me, I bow down to her. I just think she's one of the greats. I think she's one of the greats, actually. Like, wow. In the category of like Lucille Ball, like I think she's one of the greats. Yeah.
Well, she was in one of the premier TV shows of comedies of all time, you know. I mean,
yeah, of all time. Yeah.
As a kid, and was, you know, had to stay up with two amazing actors who, you know, and held her own there, you know.
She totally holds her own. And she held, I mean, Dennis O'Hare is like a pretty indomitable spirit on stage, and they were like magic together. He was incredible. Well, I do have a great story. Tell me.
No,
we love stories.
We're here with Ramona talking about Christina Applegate. Okay. Tell us.
I was going to tell you. All right. I want to tell you a story about opening night of Sweet Charity. Okay. So it's opening night. We're so, so excited that the show is opened and that Christina's okay and she's holding her own. And, you know, she really was in a lot of pain most of the time, but she muscled through it. God love her. Anyway, so a lot of VIPs at the opening night. And my best friend from Wagner College, we'll get to this in a bit, I guess, because Richie knows her. My best friend, Alice...
Her mother and my mother wanted us to get married, but me and her. Go ahead.
You know, Rich, she is 6 foot tall. Anyway, I know.
But that didn't seem to stop my mother and her mother. But for some
okay, so she happens to be standing, you know, the show's over, and this she's standing near Donald Trump and Melania. And they're standing next to a man who's in a suit. And she said, obviously, this man was a producer or an investor in the show. And he looks to Donald and he says, so, Donald, you know, like, what'd you think? You know, did you think it was, you know, great? Did you like it and everything? To which Donald says, yeah, some really nice asses up there on that stage.
Jesus.
Number one. Thanks for the compliment. Number two, if you're talking to a Broadway investor and you've been in New York for 50 years, don't you have some kind of stock answer like, you know, the show is fantastic. I think it's going to run for a while. You know, producer to a producer, you kind of like, you have those stock answers somewhere? You know,
can I just say that
it's not a strip show. Jesus.
Well, can I?
Well, we were playing Call Girls. We're playing dance hall girls in the 1960s, but I mean, we are professional actors. Just saying,
having seen,
I don't care what we were playing,
having seen the video just then of you guys at the Tonys, it proves Donald Trump's not a liar. There were some nice dances on that stage. The man's telling the truth.
Thanks for the compliment. That's all I got to say about that.
But listen, Mark, listen to this. And then this is overwhelming to me. Ragtime. Swing.
Saw you in that.
You did.
Kiss Me, Kate. The Look of Love. Sweet Charity with Rob and Christina Applegate. The Drowsy Chaperone. Now, let me ask you something. Kiss of the Spider Woman. You were the understudy to Cheetah Rivera. Is that right?
I wanted to see that one.
Holy crap.
That was my first production contract. I think I was... Oh my God, how old was that? I was in my mid-20s and my first production contract, and Rob Marshall was the director. And well, Hal Prince was the director of the Broadway production. And then when they put the first national out, Hal came in every once in a while, but it was basically just putting the show up. Cheetah already knew the show, and most of the guys, I think, knew the show. Some of them did. But the dancers, it was an incredible experience. And I rarely tell this story, But Cheetah hurt herself. We were in Chicago, the city of Chicago, and Cheetah hurt herself in the middle of the preview. So we got one preview and then the opening night, and then we were going to run for about 4 weeks. Cheetah went down, hurt her knee really badly. I was on a pager. It was so it was back in the 90s, so I had a pager.
Wow.
And I was in my hotel room, and I'm unpacking, you know, and I just, you know, whatever, having a beer and a salad, and I'm packing. All of a sudden, my pager went off, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I got the call.
So I ran. I got this cab. Now, what do you do? Like, you're an actress. You have to go on. It's in the middle of the show. And I have to get a cab driver that is going 10 miles an hour. So I'm like in the back, literally putting my show makeup on in the back of the cab. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, could you please go a little faster? I really need to get to the Orient, you know, the, whatever theater was, the Oriental, I think it was. And he's like, ma'am, I will go as fast as legally possible. And great. That's great.
You got the one.
Johnny Law decided to take a side job, and you get him.
He's like, is somebody sick? And I'm like, yes, very sick.
Cheetah Rivera is fucking sick.
Fucking sick. Get on it. So anyway, it went on in the middle of the preview, and then the producers were gracious enough, and they said, Janine, you're ready, and they put me on opening night, and I'm backstage, and, you know, I'm behind the curtain, and I had to sing a little something behind the curtain to open the show, so I had to be right there, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, the role played by Cheetah Rivera will now be played by Janine LaManna.
No.
And you hear 1,500 people go, oh, like 1,000 people, like, yeah. Oh, shit.
That's what happens when Mark opens for me.
Yeah. And now you're opening act, Mark.
How hard is that, Janine? Seriously. Do you get past that quickly?
I got past it.
Get that out of your mind. And you know what's funny about that? People, you're right. I mean, they go to, it's Cheetah Rivera.
Well, they had been waiting for her for about 15 years. Chicago, the city, had been waiting for her for so long to return to Chicago that they were waiting with bated breath. It's Cheetah Rivera. I mean, of course. Who the hell is Janine LaManna? Luckily at the end of the show, they were all mine. They stood up. They gave me something.
Because people don't get this. Like if a comic isn't famous, he mustn't be funny. Or she must be. An actor, if I never heard of you, it doesn't mean it. Then they go to see you and they go, oh my God, this person is so goddamn talented. So, and then at the end, like, that was amazing, because they don't understand that, you know? So that must be a good feeling to win them over that way and get them.
That made my day. And, you know, they brought in, because I wasn't a name though, they said, okay, well, we're going to let you do this until we bring Carol Lawrence in, and then you'll do the matinees, and then she'll do the evenings. And, you know,
you were understudying all of West Side Story at that
point. I love that you said that. I did 8 different productions of West Side Story from high school on, okay? 8 different casts of West Side Story. I don't know why I was booking West Side Story left and right, but I always wanted to be Maria, but I always booked Anita.
You were in England with me, right? No, you weren't there yet, right?
No, I wasn't there yet. But I did it with Sue Nock. I mean, one of our fellow alum, I did it with Sue many times, and she was Maria and I was Anita. But a couple of times that I did it, I was the Maria understudy and Anita. Like, I was like, oh my God. Here I was in between Carol Lawrence and Cheetah Rivera. And I was like, my head, I said, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. This is all meant to be. It's all meant to be. Like, I couldn't even believe my luck. Yeah.
I was at dinner one night, and Cheetah Rivera was next to us, and someone at my table knew her, and they started talking, and she introduced me, and I couldn't talk. Like, I was like, it's Cheetah Rivera, and she could have been nicer. And then someone said, Richie's a really great comedian, and in my head, I'm like, no, tell her I'm in theater. Tell her, like, I went, and then like, I have such respect for comics. Like, she went off on, I don't know how you get up there and do that. And then suddenly I'm like, yeah, like now I'm cool.
Well, I'm a stand-up comic.
I was theater nerd. But you did. Chicago must have been amazing to do. There you are.
Yeah, there. Yeah, I loved Chicago. That was one. You know what? I was such a big fan of Cheetahs from the time I got my first show album in high school that I just aspired to do every single role she's ever done. Yeah. Like, I think most of my career actually has been playing roles that Cheetah originated, which I think is really
me too.
Because you too. So, Rich, we're both Hispanic.
Yes.
You know, we both get it's typecasting 101. Yeah. I mean,
Great legs.
But that was back in the day when you could have a last name like Lamana and it could pass for Hispanic. Right. I don't know why. They thought, oh, Italian, Hispanic, so similar.
Same thing.
Now, do me a favor. tell the story about when you were in Kiss Me Kate. I think we have a picture. There you are. Kiss Me Kate. And that was during 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And you... Tell the story about when you went back after 9/11.
Okay. So Monday night, September 10th, I was doing a benefit for Broadway Cares Equity Fight States. Next morning, I wake up, my mom calls me and, you know, where are you? Where are you? I don't live anywhere near World Trade. So shocking. So horrific. No warning. We're back in the theater on Thursday night. They canceled the show Tuesday, canceled both shows on Wednesday, and we were back in the theater on Thursday night.
Wow.
It was a type of thing where I wasn't feeling it. I thought, how am I going to make people laugh? How am I going to be singing and dancing? We were at the Al Hirschfeld Theater. There were probably about 50 people in the audience that night on Thursday night. And we thought, nobody's going to show. But a handful of people showed. They put them all down in the front. And we did the show for those people. And we thought, you know what? Somebody said, those people must have really needed to be here and escape or do something. And so we did the show. It didn't matter. But the numbers were dropping and dropping. I mean, it was just so hard to get people into the seats. And every theater was struggling to stay open. And we were in a lot of jeopardy of closing. A lot of shows were in the same position. So someone in our show came up with the great idea to donate half of our salaries to the Red Cross. And we said to the producers, if we take a pay cut, can you keep the show open? Will that help you with your net? And they said, okay. So we basically donated the money to Red Cross to buy tickets to give to first responders and anybody that had come from out of town, anyone that was a family member or anyone struggling that wanted, you know, to use the resource and go see a show. So in addition to that, we said anyone who comes, a lot of people went to the box office and said, no, I want to pay for it. And we were like, you know, the box office said, no, this is a gift. You know, this, please take the tickets. And they wanted to, people were unbelievably generous. It really like astounds me. So
theater goers tend to be that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're so supportive because they get it. They get how special it is and they're so supportive. It's amazing. So in addition, we said, if anyone would like to come back and meet us after the show, please, you know, welcome them on the stage. And we would go every night and we would just stand there. If anyone wanted to meet us, great. So I ended up talking to this, fire chief, and he was from Colorado, and he goes, you know, thank you so much. Everybody just wanted to thank us for the tickets. Thank you. Thank you. And I said, oh my gosh, thank you for coming. I mean, you know, where are you from? What's your story? And he said, you know, we're down there 24/7 and it's not fun and nobody's laughing and it's really horrific. And we haven't smiled and we haven't laughed. He said tonight, he said, I looked down the aisle at my guys and they were all laughing. He said, so thank you. He said, we needed that mental break. And that was a time when I thought, what else could I do? What could I do to volunteer? What could I do, you know, in the moment, in the day to day, you know, I mean, I remember driving a van from grocery store to pick up water and things that we could bring down to 9/11. I mean, we did anything we could, but I never realized that what I did for a living could actually be of use too.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm not a nurse. I don't have any skills in that regard, but oh my gosh, I could give somebody like a mental vacation that will actually help their brain.
Right.
Like,
that's why this is so frustrating, because we could tell you stories too about comedians, comics, shows we did. When Hurricane Sandy happened, there were so many comedy events and 9/11. And this is like, it's the first time where you're like, I can't.
There's nothing we can do.
Nothing I can do with my talent. There's nothing. How do I help?
Yeah.
I had the opposite during 9/11. We were in the middle. We were opening that weekend doing Chekhov in Yalta by Jonathan Driver. And it's like the exact opposite. Like, yeah, come to the theater and get more depressed. Let's talk Russian Revolution.
No one was going to that anyway. So,
you know, Rich, be supportive. Be supportive, Rich.
I will. I'm joking. Now, listen, I want to talk about a few things here I've jumped way ahead on how we met and all of that. I haven't even got there yet. But before we do that, I want to jump to your tie to the comedy world. Stand-up comedy.
Oh.
Mark doesn't know anything about this, and Mark's going to flip out when he hears this. Janine has a tie to the stand-up comedy world. Janine, tell Mark what you used to do.
Okay. So when I went to Wagner College with Rich, and his senior class just was amazing with us freshmen. I mean, we'll get into that in a second, but one of the previous alums had worked at the comic strip as a coat check girl. And I was looking for extra work. You know, I had a single mom and I was trying to get myself through college. And next thing I knew, I had a job at the comic strip.
You worked with me.
And I was the coat check girl. And she told me, this is what I was instructed to do. I did not come up with this on my own.
We're not naming names.
I'm not naming any names. Jody Krakauer. But I said, she goes, now, when you take the coats, she goes, they're going to, you know, you ask for a dollar for the coat, you know, a dollar per coat. She said, don't ask for a dollar, ask for two. And you put the extra dollar in your pocket. So I said, oh. So by the end of the night, like I would take a cab home at like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, with like $200 in my pocket, just from like taking coats. That's just a coat check girl.
She's making the dollar and getting tips, Mark.
Hey, I don't blame you, man.
Silly us, we were going on the stage.
No, the real money was in the coats.
The real money's always in the coats.
Plus you're probably taking, you know, wads of money and wallets out of them jackets as you hung them up. You were cleaning house.
I did when Jerry Seinfeld came in. Yes, I did.
Did you? What's the craziest shit you ever found in a jacket?
Oh, no. I never went through anybody's jacket. No.
Nothing ever fell out?
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, baby. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Jerry Seinfeld, when he walked in, I thought, oh my God, he's so cute. Like here I am in college. And I was like, geez, if I could just get him to look at me, like, I probably would have like, you know, took his coat and said, oh, I'm sorry, I lost it, just so I could keep him engaged for a little bit longer. You know,
it's funny because Mark and I do the same thing when we see him.
But I remember Lucian and I remember all the comics that came in.
Did Lucian tell you we already have a white coat check girl?
We already have a white girl who does coats. We don't need another.
Oh my gosh. So I have a lot of respect for what you guys do, because I used to, sometimes I'd sit in the back and watch, you know, not all the time, but if it was somebody that, you know, everybody was excited about, I would go and stand in the back and watch. It's an unbelievably brutal form of art.
Yeah, you know, brutal. You know, I was doing my own variety show, which, you know, the Richie Burns show, yep. And Sunak, who we went to college with, who you mentioned earlier, played Maria. She was a cast member in the show, and the show was a conglomerate of everyone I knew in theater. I mean, in show business. I had a band that I'd done a play with. I had writers who were all comedy guys. I had a lot of the comics on the show, and then I had all my theater friends were the actors and performers. And it was an amazing thing to put together. It was really hard work, but it was amazing. You remember I was doing it, and But the comics would come to the rehearsal. You know, the writers would come to the rehearsal, and when we'd be on a break or whatever, all the comics would be sitting together, just Mark, you know, just killing each other.
Just brutally destroying each other.
And Sue one day came up to me and she goes, "Man, you guys are rough, man. You guys." And I go, "You don't understand something, Sue. These are the nice guys."
Come to these the are friendly.
One night. You won't believe the things that people say to each other. So, yeah, comics can be rough.
So when I was in acting school, we all worked at Stand Up New York. It was all theater guys. There was, I think, 7 of us. We ran that club from the bartenders to the managers to the booker. They were all American Academy of Dramatic Arts students. So when people would come.
Oh, you're an undergrad? Oh, my God, how great.
Okay. No, Ada, not musical. I can't sing. I can't sing to save my life. Ada. But we took over that club, and it was our energy. And so when you walked into the club as a customer, the show started. You know, like, you walked in, and we were all ready to get you seated, get you. And comics used to mention all the time that it was like, there is a different energy about this club. Like, everybody in this club is all about the show. So, like, the waiters, the people seating, they all played it as a role, you know, that it was like, it's part of the show. It's all about the comedian on stage. Everything's about. But the bad part is they also knew when there was a comedian that was an asshole, they knew how to ruin their sets. So it would be like there would be a big audition for the Conan O'Brien show, and all of a sudden the busboy would accidentally drop his tray right at his closing bit. It was like, you know, we know how to make a show better, but we also know how to screw over that comic if they're a dick.
Oh my God. We have the same thing in the theater. I mean, people still wonder why, you know, Cheetah's, you know, knee, she slipped on the stage.
You better be nice to the stage manager. That's all I say about theater people.
it's called All About Eve. Be careful.
You've been in, like I said, countless Broadway shows. You've worked with Burt Bacharach, Hal David, Barry Manilow, Kander and Ebb. I mean, it's just, the list goes on and on. You've been on 5 albums, Sweet Charity, Seussical, Enter Laughing, Believe, the music of the Sherman Brothers, Kris Kringle, the musical. Very cool.
Rich, I do believe that you're right for the role now that you've grown the beard. I didn't want to tell you, but I was going to recommend you for the stage production.
You're absolutely right for it.
And if you guys are doing a stage production of Hulk Hogan as a roofer, Richie is ready to go.
Your biggest role, and we have somebody who is very impressed by this, was you with Carmen Sandiego.
Oh!
Look at that.
That's awesome.
Our producer, Joey St. John. Joey, come on.
Hi, guys.
Joey.
Yeah, I was a little starstruck when I found out we had Carmen Sandiego on the show.
Yeah.
I found her.
I've been searching for her for 20 years, and now I found her.
And they actually did a lot to hide who you were, right? That was like a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually have a clip.
Yeah, show the clip, Joey.
So one of the first big questions I ever experienced in my life was, where in the world was Carmen Sandiego? And that, I guess, just kind of stuck with me. And now that I had a platform to sort of solve the mystery with Huffington Post, I figured I'd pursue that.
Janine, when you first got contacted by Todd, when you found out that he was actually trying to find you, the woman behind this role, what did you think?
Well, when he told me how old he was, I thought, so you were 5 when you started watching this show, and the show was geared towards 10 and 14-year-olds, and I thought, wow, this guy must have been some kind of prodigy. So I thought I owed it to him to give him an interview.
I'm curious why the show, Janine, wanted to keep your identity a secret. I mean, was it part of the whole shtick, the whole thing?
Sure. I think it had already been established with the previous show, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? It was kind of hard to find the actress. There was a voiceover for that cartoon that they used for the show. So I think it was kind of the same template for the next incarnation of the game show, to keep her mysterious, and also because I was actually embodying her for the first time. I had a fedora that covered my eyes, and they really guarded my identity, closely, because they didn't want to spoil it for the kids.
We're showing pictures of you in that fedora, and it's just great to sort of see these pictures and you now here with us live. You know, Todd, for you growing up with this character and finally tracking her down, what's that?
So I wasn't as dedicated as Todd in my search, you'll always be the only Carmen
Sandiego. Thank God it wasn't stalking me like Todd was.
I think it's funny. It says Todd is a senior staff writer for Huffington Post. Todd hasn't been a senior in anything. He looks like he's 40.
he's a sophomore in high school, senior writer.
Yeah, I know. Janine, it was great to have finally found you.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so glad you did.
There's a whole group of young adults who are like blown away by this, apparently, that you were.
Yeah. I can't get my kids interested, but more could I beg them all the time. I'm like, hey, it's on YouTube. They're like, no. Well, anyway, so they move on. My nieces, though, the same thing happened to me when the show was on in the mid-90s. The only person that watched it faithfully for my family was my mother. And I would call my nieces. And, you know, it's a kid's show. So I would call. I have all these nieces. I have sisters that are older than me. So I had all my nieces were the right age to watch the show. And I would call and be like, did you see me today? And they're like, no, we didn't put it on.
That educational shit.
What did your mother have to say about the fact that they kept you kind of hidden?
Oh my God, did not like it. And then I did all these.
But
not,
you've got pretty not. Eyes. Why would they cover them?
But Janine, what would she say? Janine does a great imitation of her mother. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I don't understand why they have the hat over your eyes. I can't see your face. Why can't they show your face?
Janine's mother is the epitome of the woman who says, you should do Saturday Night Live.
My mom is the kind of mom that's like, now why can't you be the nanny?
Right.
Well, Mom, Fran Drescher's the nanny. I know, but you're gorgeous. You could do that part. Well, Mom, somebody else has the part. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you can't just walk in and be like, hey, you know, I can play that too. I don't know. Do you want to get rid of her or
my mom told me.
No. I got to tell you, I'm overwhelmed by your resume. And I mean, I've known you forever. How did I miss all of this?
You were too busy putting roofs up as Hulk Hogan.
I'm not done, though. You performed at the White House. And we have a picture.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Look at that guy.
Look at that. Yeah. What was that like?
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Okay, and the only reason why I got invited, and really I owe this to my husband. So I married an Army officer.
Her husband's an Army paratrooper. Mark, you retired.
Thank him for our service.
And how many?
Thank him for his service. We all love that. How long has he been in?
Yeah. He was in for about almost 20 years. And went to Virginia Military Institute. And when I met him, he was stationed at Fort Bragg. So we kind of went back and forth a little bit from Bragg. But while I was doing, so I'm an Army wife. Okay. So I become an Army wife, which some would say was a perfect role for me. And actually, there was a TV show, and I think it was
in Army Wives.
Called Mona McClaskey or something like that.
Oh, she was like Juliet Krause. Vaguely remember.
Yeah, like a Broadway star married an army officer. I said, "You're kidding me. You can't make this crap up." Anyway.
Your mother must have been, why aren't you doing that? What, yeah, yeah.
That was a great show.
Was it?
Yeah,
I really. I need to look it up because I keep thinking, like, there's no way. Like, I think I'm the only person, like, on Broadway that married an army officer. Like, I think there's a Rocket that's married to a Marine, but it's, you know, not a, it's not like you get a lot of soldiers at the, you know, stage door, like, hey, back in the 40s, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's no longer the,
for Johnny's. So anyway, so he's deployed, he's in Iraq, and I am on Broadway doing The Drowsy Chaperone. And so they call the White House, literally Googles. Oh, so wait. So I'm doing Drowsy Chaperone, and CNN picked up me as a story. Like, what are Army wives doing while their husbands are deployed? So they, CNN, American Morning, does this whole story on me and Mike. And, you know, here I am. They got all this B-roll of me and Drowsy Chaperone. I had replaced Sutton Foster in the lead role of Drowsy. And they got all this gorgeous B-roll, and then they've got footage of Mike, and they've got, you know, and so they're like, so this is what you're doing while your husband's deployed, you know, other, you know, right? I'm just like, yes, I'm starring in a Broadway show. Other moms are like, you know, I've got five kids at home, my husband's away. No, I'm kicking up a heel in a Broadway show. I was like, this is crazy. So now cut to the White House is celebrating National Military Spouse Appreciation Day, and they Google Army Wives Who Sing. So of course, the first thing that popped up was the CNN American Morning Show. And they're like, wait a minute, this girl on Broadway, is her husband's in the 82nd and he's deployed, and like, how can we get her to the White House to sing? So luckily, Drowsy Chaperone, the producers were so kind, and they let me go to the White House for the day. And I sang the national anthem at National Military Spouse Appreciation Day. But here's the thing. George Bush could not stop saying my name. And as he gets up to the podium, he's like, thank you, Janine. Thank you, Janine. That was good job. What, everyone give a round of applause to Janine. And then as he leaves, he said, Janine, good job, Janine. And I'm like, what is going on? So then, and I had my baby with me, and she was about 1 year old. And she's in the White House with me. So the president is somewhere on the first floor. There's a big like party afterwards. And he comes out of this room. And there I am standing with my baby in my arms, right? And he goes, is she yours? And I said, yes, sir, she is. And he said, he goes, well, give her to me. And he takes my baby.
He didn't mean to hold. He just took her.
He took her. And the cameras are going off left and right and everything. And I say to my husband, calls from overseas, and he goes, so how'd it go? Mark my words. I said, we are getting invited back to the White House, and I don't know why. And I said, I feel like we're coming back. So cut to, that was in May. So cut to November, and I get an invitation in the mail for one of the Christmas parties at the White House. And I said, son of a bee, I knew it. I knew he was going to ask me back. I don't know why. So this is the most amazing story. Oh, my God. I could go on and on. So we
please
go
do.
To the White House. We go to the White House. It happens to be my husband's birthday. And like a fool, I didn't think, like, surprise him. You know, it was his birthday. And so anyway, I get to the White House. We meet George and Laura. We take the picture and everything. And then they say, okay, go to your table. So I go to my table. My husband goes to his table. It's an old-fashioned thing where they split the couples up, right? He's sitting with, like, Tony Snow. And these ladies say to me, do you know where you're sitting? And I said, why, yes, I'm sitting at this table. And they're like, no, do you know where you're sitting? And they're at the table with me. And I'm like, and they looked at me and they go, this is the president's table. And I went, I'm sorry, what? At what point my husband comes up and he goes, so how's it going? I'm like, this is the president's table. He's like, okay, I'll see you later. Great. And he's like, and this is all because of me. Like, you got, Like, you're a military spouse because of me.
Yeah, but that was teamwork.
Wow.
You had that was complete teamwork. He got you the invitation, but you earned the re-invite.
Wow.
That is hysterical.
I hadn't told you that before, Rich. That's crazy story.
You got to get your husband in the acting so we can say he's like a second William Holden. You know, the soldier who showed up to a Broadway show and got discovered.
Yes. Well, yeah, he'd like to think he's in.
Now you have two president stories in one show, which is pretty awesome. You mentioned Trump and Bush. We do have another clip. Can we see the clip?
Oh.
Then came the horror, I caught my soul. Then I rolled downhill out of all control. Till I broke my soul on a jagged shoe. For you.
For you.
For you.
For you. For you.
There's nothing that I wouldn't and I couldn't. And I haven't gone through.
I got to say, before we, because we're probably going to wrap soon, but I have to get this out before we do. I just like to say I hate both of you because I'm so jealous.
Well,
you guys are such good singers, and I wanted to be able to sing my whole life. And I can't even hold a tuning fork, let alone a tune.
That was obviously a Vita. And
God, I'm so jealous of you guys. And you make it look so effortless.
Well, she's great. She's
you
great.
You make it look like speaking. And you're holding these perfect notes. It's unbelievable.
You originated that in Broadway?
Yeah.
And you did on the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Oh yeah. Rosie came in and played the Cat in the Hat. Yeah. Right. And we got to, because her theater producer was Joy Trapani, who was one of our best friends from Staten Island and Wagner College.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just happened to be that Joy was the theater producer and Rosie came in and did the show. And then Rosie loved the show so much, she put it on the show like, I think, two or three times. I've been on the Rosie show a couple of times, but she basically like singled me out and let me do Notice Me Horton on the show with Kevin Chamberlain.
Right.
And that was the first time. And then we came on as a cast to do one of the big numbers. I can't remember now. Anyway, but it was really, you know, what an interesting.
I guarantee I saw every single one of your appearances on there, because shout out to Scott Cody, who's probably watching. My old roommate used to tape the Rosie show, and when we'd get back from school, he would watch it. He was obsessed with the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Wait, your roommate was Scott Cody?
Yeah, you know him?
Oh my, yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh my God, yes, yeah.
How was it working with Rosie?
Oh, Rosie was so much fun and so generous and so... I've never seen a bigger champion for live theater and Broadway in my life. Of all of the stars that could, you know, that love it and come back to it, Rosie really, really, truly loves it, supports it wholeheartedly, and what she does for our community is pretty astounding.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was the last comedian that she ever had on her show.
You were the reason.
I was the reason. No. She actually paid me. I shouldn't say this, but she actually paid me a compliment because there was supposed to be two more comics after me before she went off. It was her last season. And she said, I finally got a guy who did exactly what I wanted, and I'm going out with him. And she never put another comic. And that's, the other two comics still are mad at me to this day, but fuck them. You've done so much in your career. I mean, think about it. Broadway.
Nothing compares.
Well, let me get this out. You were on Broadway in so many shows, starring Cheetah Rivera, White House, Radio City Music Hall. But I want you to tell the people, the first day you got to walk into a rehearsal and Richie Byrne was the star of the show. What was that like?
Well, it was snowing in hell.
Pirates of Penzance.
Is Mary
was our first.
Right, Pirates of Penzance.
We have a picture. I think we have it. No, that's
me. No, that's Oklahoma.
Right
there. Here we go.
Is that you in the uniform, Richie?
Yes, that's me.
He's the modern Major General.
And Janine's the hot daughter. Right there.
One of 12.
And we
Richie, you look like a heavy-set Mussolini. Wonderful.
Shut up, stupid. She played.
She played
my daughter in that, and then we did Oklahoma together. It's a great picture. We did Oklahoma.
Yes.
Look at this, Janine. I can see Janine. And I'm
where are you, Richie?
He has dark hair. He's got the suspenders on in the front.
That's me. Oh,
that's you?
And over on the, see on the left, that's the stars. That's Matt Lenz, now a tremendous director. And that's Sue Knock, Mark, up next to him, who we've been talking about.
No way.
And in the back is Alex Risley. Over in the back, the tall girl in the corner. That's Alex, who we were talking about earlier. So that's me as Judd.
Really tall girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you a funny story about me as Judd. It was my last show in college. I was a senior. And, you know, it's a musical. And it's Oklahoma. And I'm playing the one serious role. The one I'm playing the crazy guy. And I'm in my De Niro days, Mark. Like,
I'm you talking to me?
I'm like, I have to live the character. And Sue was the lead. And I was, my character was obsessed with her. And she was one of my best friends in college. So I told her, I go, listen, I'm going to stalk you. I'm going to stalk you.
There's nothing like telling someone you're going to stalk them.
You and I can no longer talk. And I'm going to stalk you. And I started showing up at her classes and like sitting in the back and just staring at her. I wasn't going to my own classes, but I was going to.
That old excuse. I'm doing it for the part. Excuse the other 3 years, Rich.
But she goes, you know, it's a musical, Rich. Relax. Like it was the game. Every time the Rodgers and
Easy Hammers, Daniel Day Lewis.
Yeah. The Rodgers and Hammerstein shows had a dream ballet, Mark, where in the middle of the show, suddenly there'd be this dream sequence where these they perform what you've already seen pretty much, right, in the show. And Janine was the lead part in the dream. She was Dream Laurie. And the funny thing is so she had to play Sue in the dream ballet. But I still got to play me in the dream ballet. And I had to walk out and pick Janine up and walk off. Do you remember this? And, like, walk off with Janine. And I couldn't dance for shit. And it was, but I was so impressed. You were a freshman. And I was so impressed with what an amazing dancer you were. And I mean, you had to, like, we saw you, you know, you auditioned and you sang the shit out of everything. But then because ballet to me is unbelievable. And you were so wonderful. And then a few years later, I'm a working actor and I think you might still have been at school. You might have just gotten out. And I get called to play Kanicki in Greece in Potsdam, New York. And who was Rizzo? Janine. And we got to play opposite each other. And if you remember, Mark, I had hair down to here then. And rather than
I think it was a mullet.
It was a mullet.
It was a mullet.
It was the late 80s and I was cool. We used to, do you remember this, Janine? I know Trish Santini did. They would wrap my hair up in curlers and then bobby pin them in because you.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to drive Janine crazy because we'd be doing the dance, the sock hop or whatever, the dance thing. And every night I thought my hair came out. Every night. It came out. And she's trying to work, isn't it? She's trying to dance.
You kind of got a mullet right now, Richie.
But I'm going, Janine, is my hair okay? Janine, is my hair okay? Janine, just like, shut the fuck up about your hair, Rich.
So, oh, my God.
I remember the 80s. And I remember the 90s.
But I think it's funny. 4 years earlier, I was De Niro going, I have to stalk you. And now 4 years later, I'm going, no, I'm not cutting my hair for a role.
You became River Phoenix.
Yeah.
I seem to remember that Richie, like, he had to lift me in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I just remember us going over it and over it and over it because happened? No, you pulled your back out, and you were like, oh.
Well, you know what? You're right. That's when I had two herniated discs in my back.
Yeah.
You're right. And I actually couldn't do like a couple of shows because I was in traction, right? And then I played Judd, and I had to lift you. And you used to go, I'm sorry, I'm so fat. You had this gorgeous body. You're like, I'm like, no, I'm just a weak asshole who can't dance.
But I just remember over and over, we're like, you know what? Just drag her off stage. You know,
the foot.
The type of thing where it's like, throw her over your back, Rich. I can't. All right, you know what? Just drag her by the hair. No. Whatever. I don't care. Like, who knows what we ended up with.
I mean, but think about how high maintenance that was. All I had to do was carry you off stage. I couldn't do that. All I had to do was dance with you in the scene, and I'm going, how's my hair? How's my hair, Janine? Is my hair okay?
Richie, if you tell me one more time about your hair, I'm going to cut it off in your sleep. I swear to God. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Look at this shit, man.
I mean, it's a little, you know.
You look like Christopher Walken got stung by a bee.
But we got to get out. Let's bring Joel in.
Let's bring Joel back out. My dog, real quick, I want to say, my dog jumped up on my lap. I thought it was because he wanted affection. He's trying to get to my vodka. He's definitely my dog.
That's what you get for putting Pedialyte in it.
I just wanted to say that this was a great episode. As a lot of people know, I went to Wagner College as well. And I went there because of the active alumni, and they said that what a great alumni association they had. And it's even more so when I've become good friends with Richie the last 2 years and being a part of the Wagner College Theater. I see how close knit you guys are, and it's just nice to hear you guys talk about that and how truly talented. I don't know if you know this, Janine, but the last 5 years, it's been harder to get into the Wagner Theater program than it is the undergrad in Harvard because they accept so few students. And I said they've been ranked in the top five the last 20 years, and Richie thought I was making fun of them, but they're actually ranked number one in the country.
Yeah.
For theater.
You know, that's because I did.
They have, when you go to their thing, when you go to like college night and the high school kids are looking around, they give you a folder with Richie Burns' photo on the front.
Yeah, they do.
And says Wagner University, and it makes these kids just really want to go to Wagner. So it's...
They're throwing the money.
They're just tossing it up. They're not even interested in theater. They're like, you know what? If Hulk Hogan went there.
A few years ago, they had the 50th anniversary of the theater.
That's what I was going to mention, yeah.
And Janine was the host. And
with Michelle Falk.
Right. And Janine called me and said, you got to help me. You got to help me. And we wrote some... I wrote some stuff for you, and it was so much fun.
And because I knew a good host always has a couple of good jokes up her sleeve, and I thought, I'm not getting out there just and going to ride on my good looks, because that's gone So I'm like, I better have some sharp material. Well, so I call Rich, and I'm like, if anyone knows this theater department, like me. I know this theater department, it's Richie Byrne.
Go ahead, Richie, and then I have to tell a story.
You're making me jealous I didn't go to Wagner, you guys.
She had some jokes.
No, I had no grades to get into any university.
No, let me say, she had some jokes and a lot of dresses that night. Every time she came back on stage, she was in a new dress. It's like, she can change again. Can she really change again? How you would come in another dress?
But just like comedians... theater, very, very competitive. Richie, tell her about the Wagner Alumni award that you got. Okay, that story is great.
So, Mark, here's what happened.
It was that night, too, afterwards. We went to Jody's.
Was that night. Yeah, it was that night. It was at
Duffy's.
So, here's what happened, Mark. She calls me, hey, can you help me with this script and blah, blah, blah. So, she goes, what's this award you're getting? Because I was getting an award at the same time from the alumni.
And you got the phone call on April Fool's.
I got the phone call on April Fool's, right.
So you told the head of alumni to go F himself because you thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Why would anyone give me an award from my college. Mark.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Joel put me in for this. I didn't even know about it. The guy literally calls me and I'm going, who is this?
Yeah.
I'm going, John Jacobson, is that you? Yeah.
And in case it didn't happen, I didn't tell Richie because I didn't want to get his hopes up.
Anything about it. The guy even goes, listen, Mr. Byrne, here's the deal. 1 second. We're giving you an award. We'd really like you to be there. He was like so frustrated by me. So Charlie Seidenberg is talking about this. Oh, Richie's getting an award. So Janine goes, what's this award you're getting? And I go, oh, it's some award. And she goes, I've been in 12 Broadway shows. I sang for the president. But nobody gives me an award. Why are you getting? I'm like, Janine was like all up in arms about this award. So now it's the night of the 50th anniversary. And Janine is still talking about the award. So we go out to dinner. We go out after the show to have some drinks. And we're in a bar on Forest Avenue, Duffy's. And Janine's going, this award, and Richie's getting an award. And somebody goes, yeah, it's the Fellow Award. And Janine goes, Fellow Award? Oh, I got that like 10 years ago.
Who gives a shit about that one?
It made me laugh so hard, Janine. Joel and I left the whole way home. Now,
oh, wait a minute. Oh, I got that. Oh, okay. All right. Anyway,
like I'm behind the time.
I'm running out of room on the fireplace. I don't need another one of those things.
So funny.
But you have not told the joke.
Oh, I have to tell the joke now. Okay.
We're going
to
go out on the joke, baby.
Oh, whew, I better get it right. All right.
If no pressure, if you don't, backup one.
All right, I'm just saying that I love, love, love. I have 50,000 best friends who are Jewish. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, this is with love. This is with love.
Oh, Lord. Okay. This could be our last show.
It's payback for all those Italian jokes I've been getting for, you know, how many years. Okay, so a Jewish grandmother is walking on the beach with a grandson. So nice. It's probably Coney Island. The walking, it's beautiful. All of a sudden, a tidal wave comes, whooshes up onto the beach, takes the little child out into the ocean, never to be seen. She says, dear God, please bring back my grandson, please. I'll do anything. I'll give you anything. Oh, my God, just please bring him back safe and sound. Here comes the tidal wave, brings the grandson safely back down on the sand next to her feet. She looks up to the sky and she says, he had a hat.
That's drink okay. Jokes. And oh, wait, we got more.
And that is the only joke I know.
We're going up. Stay on, though. We're going out. Go ahead.
Stay on. That's okay. Drink Jokes and Storytelling. Boom.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.